the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Roizen, he's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Pick up a phone, talk to Dr. Mike at 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. On the email, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. And experiment with us on iHeartRadio Talk at Radio MD. And you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to what they call the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio. It's a special news and updates station you can customize. A couple ways to do that. Go to iHeartRadio.com, download the app, go to the web. If you use the web, click Talk on the main menu, and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe.
What's our guest at 35 after the hour today? Who's our guest?
It is Dr. Bren Smith, who's chief of neurology at Spectrum Health, which is just outside Detroit. It's in throughout Michigan, actually. And they're looking, and he is an expert on epilepsy. He actually had it himself, which is how he got interested in this field and has some dramatic upsides and why this season is in fact called epilepsy season. I didn't know there was a season for seizures, but there is a season.
Right, that's the question that I saw that I'd like to find out more about. So that's coming up 35 minutes after the hour. We'll have the top medical news stories of the week, the Real Age Tip of the Week in this hour coming up before the end of the hour, and your email questions and comments and Dr. Mike's email answers at udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com. Hazards in your home this winter you can get easily rid of because we're into the winter season. What are those?
Well, there are two major hazards that are in your home that seem to thrive in winter, and those are mold and dust mites. So dust mites are in your pillow. That is, they form in the pillow, and they somehow thrive in winter, and you develop allergies to them. So they're much greater in winter than, and I didn't realize this either until the article came out, they're much more common in winter than in summer. The other one is mold in this area. Again, so the way to get rid of the dust mite is it's an allergy to the dust mite protein. It's actually to the dust mite poop. Doesn't sound real good, but that's what it is. And the easy way to get rid of it is to put a latex cover on your pillow, or a 1 micron filter, and it is pillows more than mattresses. So I don't know why they like pillows and not mattresses. It may be what the material of the pillow is made of that they thrive in that, or maybe that they collect more skin there, but that's it. The other one is mold, and this requires you to do something, which is to whenever there's dampness, you get rid of it. And then the specific thing that they say to do is that you've got to make sure all wetness goes away pretty quickly. So this is, again, an allergy of mold. And the mold that is common now is in dust samples. It is Alternia alternata, who knew? But anyway, it is in the air. It is also on dogs and cats. And so while there's no cure for it, it is to vacuum, wash hands frequently, launder bed linens and pajamas, and to treat the bedroom as an allergy sanctuary. That is to make sure your bedroom is especially clean, vacuum it extra special, and get rid of all the dust in there. And to make sure you've gotten your filter changed on the furnace.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Clean furnace filter would be would go a long way in, you know, preventing those things from. But is it a hygiene problem? That's what I'm saying. Dust mites? People doing something unhygienic?
No, dust mites aren't related to lack of hygiene. They just are what happens when you shed skin. So the dust mite thrives on your skin, and it does this, and you shed skin, you know, you shed your skin quite frequently, and those little bits of skin are, and we all do it, those little bits of skin get through the pillow, and the dust mite takes that and eats that and enjoys it, but he puts out an allergen that you can be allergic to. So the latex cover prevents bidirectional. The 1 micron prevents it bidirectionally. The allergen is so big, I mean, it's a big enough protein, it won't come through a 1 micron filter or pillow.
Now, I always thought the mold would be more prevalent in the summer because you've got more humid conditions.
The difference is that we tend to air out our homes in summer and get rid of it, and we don't air them out in winter. You're going to get a lot of, aren't you going to get a lot of snow this weekend?
Going to? We are.
I mean, I can't believe how much, it's still snowing, but I've shoveled about 5 times already.
Yeah, I'm so, about to do that. Which is great exercise if it's done in moderation.
Well, the point is you don't want to do it after eating, especially after eating heavy food or fattening food. So do it before dinner and then take an hour after dinner where you don't do it and then do it again. So you want to, or if you go out after dinner, eat a very light or relatively light dinner. It's always good to eat lighter at dinner time. But the other point I wanted to make is do it gradually. I mean, don't do it such that you're tired or exhausted when you do it.
Now, for those of us listening to this show, You, the Owner's Manual radio show across the country at our wonderful affiliate, some of you don't have winter weather. You have nice weather. You don't have snow and cold weather. In my opinion, the exercise of shoveling snow is the most useless exercise I can imagine. Taking one shovel of snow from one area and putting it in another area. To me, that's totally useless.
Well, some people say that when you and I chase golf balls or chase this little white ball, and all you do is you put it in a little cup, and then you pick it out of the cup, right?
Right, hit a ball, walk to it. Right, hit a ball, walk to it. Hit a ball, walk to it. Knock it in a little hole. But in both cases, golf or shoveling snow, it is exercise. So that's if anything positive comes out of that. While we're on the topic of winter, before we go to the break and some of the other medical news stories, what are some causes of winter depression that may be somewhat surprising?
Well, this is actually an interesting list, because I didn't expect to see the list and didn't know of many of the things on the list. So, if you will, one of them is that it's linked to, take a guess, lack of exercise.
Sure.
So we do less exercise in the winter. The second thing, because you don't get out and walk, but you're going to get out and shovel snow, rather than chasing the cup, think of each flake as a ball going in the cup, Joe.
Okay.
You're not moving enough. You're worried about money because of the stress of the holidays and you buy gifts. You're overwhelmed with family obligations. You're not eating right because this is a great story because we have another wonderful story. Is it fat or sugar that is more addictive? And we'll come back to that later. You feel left out. You're lonely. You drink too much. You're nostalgic for the good old times. You're overscheduled. You're turning into a hermit. And your expectations are unrealistic, Joe.
Okay, we'll pick up on that story Dr. Mike just mentioned after the break. Also, some of the other issues we'll cover, including diet soda. Diet soda evidently doesn't help you lose weight, and you'll hear why. And if you think eating healthy is expensive, you may want to rethink that thought. That's coming up. You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And thank you to Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com for support of this show. Use the Owner's Manual Radio Show. 35 minutes after the hour, learn more about epilepsy and seizures from a doctor who speaks firsthand about it, and he says this is the season for seizures, which is interesting to me, so he'll talk about that much more 35 after the hour. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, or on the phone if you prefer to talk to Dr. Mike on the phone. It's 877-711-5211. Dr. Mike, sugar or fat, as you suggested before the break, what's more addictive?
Well, this is a really interesting study. They took high school students, so these were the subjects, if you will, and they then gave them either, and I'm going to try and not make the mistake, they gave them the same calorie meal, but they gave them, which was a milkshake, but they gave them one that was either high in sugar or high in fat. And they wanted, and they studied the brain, the pleasure centers, with an MRI, so it wasn't a bad event for the kids, meaning there wasn't risk. And what they found is that they both lit up the pleasure centers, but sugar did so, had triple the effect, if you will, from reward circuitry. It not only got the usual reward circuitry in the amygdala, but also got other areas of the brain that are reward network related to a much greater degree. Then after 4 hours, they saw that there was a lack of activity in that area and a activity in the hunger center, saying that these kids were more stimulated to re-eat sugar. So sugar trumps fat in addictiveness.
What is the fat in a milkshake? Is it the ice cream?
The fat in a milkshake is both the ice cream and the saturated fat of milk.
Yeah.
And they added some other, you know, there often are other things that are added that have saturated fat in it as well.
Yeah, so what's the lesson here from this study?
The lesson is that simple sugars are very addictive for our brain. So it is those foods with simple sugars in it and added syrups and simple carbohydrates that are the most at risk for you if you worry about gaining weight.
All right. I talk a lot about or mention a lot about how the healthy eating needs to be a little more proactive, more convincing, and convincing people to eat healthy foods, because the marketing of the fast foods, the unhealthy foods, is pretty strong, and you see it a lot. And there's a story out this week that talks about how more expensive is it to eat healthy. Eating well, is it very expensive?
Well, it costs about $1.50 more per day. But there are two stories out. So one was the look at that on in general. And the second was, can you eat healthy on $4.30 a day, which is the average of food stamps?
Mm-hmm.
And what the person found who did this, so it is, the story is eating well on $4.30 a day is the title of it. And it turns out that she could eat that way. She did it for 6 weeks, so she literally limited herself to $4.30. And if you will, and that's really important since one in six Americans is on food stamps, the key point, the good value in proteins were peanuts and peanut butter, which costs less than about $2.50 a pound, even at Whole Foods. Eggs, which were 20 cents each, and legumes like split peas, lentils, peanuts are actually in that same category, which cost about $1 a pound. Then avoid, and there are a couple rules, don't eat out, don't eat packaged or processed foods, don't try to live on energy bars, and avoid cheap carbohydrates except for the healthy ones, which are whole wheat pasta, steel-cut oatmeal, brown rice, baked potatoes and sweet potatoes, and whole wheat bread. Fruits and veggies were tougher to work into her budget, but she ate plenty of bananas at about 20 cents a piece. You can find them often. She also bought frozen peas, corn, and other mixed vegetables for about $1.30 a pound, and she took a cheap multivitamin every day, a men's over 50, which is what you should be doing. Milk was relatively expensive. Bottom line, she managed to eat well for less than $4 a day. And what she came out concluding is she couldn't believe how much money she had wasted in the past on eating at more than $4 a day.
Yeah, and all those some of those foods you did mention, they don't sound like an undue hardship. You mentioned some of the things that are, you know, we eat every day, the eggs and
peanuts and peanut butter, yeah. And those are healthy foods. So yeah. You can really do it. I actually, you know, the other thing is I keep telling people to eat salmon burgers. You can go to Costco, and I love this, and I have no relationship to either Costco or the company that makes them, and get Trident salmon burgers. There are 13, or I think they're 12, rather, for under $10 at the local Costco, and they're 4 ounces of wonderful salmon. So for a buck a day, you get a great piece of salmon. Under a buck a day, you get a great piece of salmon. It is the overage of the Alaska Salmon Run. Literally, the only thing in these 4-ounce salmon burgers are, in fact, salmon. So it's a wonderful way. You can grill them up really easily, and they taste just fantastic. I put a little garlic or rosemary on them.
You grill them out in the winter months, right?
Well, I grill them on the on an indoor stove in the winter, correct.
Mm, yeah. Diet soda, there's this belief that diet soda is good. It helps lose weight, but there's something contrary to that belief, right?
Right. Well, the great news is it's falling out of favor. This is research from Wells Fargo, which has an investment bank, apparently, and found that low-calorie and zero-calorie soda sales were down 7% in the United States. Regular soda was down 2%. And several studies in the past couple of years have torn holes in the theory that zero-calorie sodas mean zero weight gain. In fact, what it shows is that they cause you to crave sweets because apparently your brain wants something sweet when you taste something sweet, and it expects that reward. Since beverages don't deliver, that craving in your brain that we talked about just before that you get with the milkshake that is high in sugar, when you have something that tastes sweet, apparently that craving occurs. And that's what is happening in your brain. So these two studies are linked together in that way. And the plunging sales numbers may suggest that consumers are catching wise to all of this. The solution, stick to water, caffeinated water, and coffee.
I had a nutritionist on talking about this on my morning show this week. And I said, if I put a gun to her head, I said, well, okay, if you needed a soda, I know drink water, that's the best thing. But if you wanted a soda, diet or regular soda, which one would you pick? What would you pick?
Well, you'd pick diet, and I'd pick regular water, so I wouldn't pick any soda.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, water. if you didn't have any water and you wanted something,
I would pick diet soda.
Now she picked a regular. She said she'd say go for the regular than the diet. So
that's what makes horse races, eh?
Yeah, right. That's right. That's why they make chocolate and vanilla, right? That's why they have the two different varieties of ice cream there. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then it'll be guest time at 35 minutes after the hour. We'll discuss epilepsy and seizures, and this is the season for seizures. And we'll find out why and everything else you need to know about these two issues coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Epilepsy and seizures is our guest topic on the show right now, and the epilepsy issue is big. It affects over 2 million people in this country. Others estimate that figure could be higher. Epilepsy is among the most common neurological disorders, and 10% of us will experience a seizure in our lifetime. Dr. Brian Smith is the co-chair, Department of Clinical Neurosciences and Chief Division of Neurology at the Spectrum Health Medical Group in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He also is the immediate past chair of the National Epilepsy Foundation, and he has epilepsy. Dr. Smith, thanks for coming on the show today. The question that caught my attention was, this is the season for seizures. Why is that?
Yes, well, you know, around the holidays, we all have a change in our schedules, and, you know, things that can put someone at higher risk to more likely have a seizure are things like sleep deprivation, excessive stress. Sometimes people who have epilepsy or seizures who are well-controlled may not get their medications on time because of the schedule's quite different. So things like stress and sleep deprivation, alcohol can all lower a seizure threshold and make them more likely to happen.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Wisen. Dr. Mike.
We've got one question already which relates to that, and so let me ask you that. It is, a number of my friends, this person actually lives in Texas where the flu is high. I guess they must be listening to, so there's a Jean in Texas, and Jean, thank you for writing the question. She said, the flu is high here, and especially when I look on Google Flu Trends, it is high there. And she said, does flu stimulate epilepsy? That is flu enough of a stress? And does inflammation in general trigger epilepsy?
So someone can develop seizures and subsequently epilepsy from a viral illness that gets severe, like a meningitis or encephalitis, which can kind of potentially scar the surface of the brain. Most people from the flu itself, though, would not develop seizures or develop epilepsy just from that. If I have someone who has a diagnosis of epilepsy and is well controlled, when they have the flu, though, that can, again, infection can lower seizure threshold because it seems to stress the system and therefore more likely make them have a seizure. Or, as we all know, when we have the flu, sometimes we can't keep food down, and they also have difficulty keeping their medicines down. That's another thing that would put them more at risk to have a seizure.
So thank you for that. Let's go to the basic questions first, and then let's talk more about this. And there are two organizations that are really have brought this home, epilepsyfoundation.org, which is the National Epilepsy Foundation. And November was National Epilepsy Awareness Month, so we've just passed that. If you will, epilepsyfoundation.org. And the other is you work and you're chief of neurology of the co-chair of the Department of Clinical Neurosciences and chief of the Division of Neurology at Spectrum Health Medical Group in Grand Rapids. What is epilepsy and why is it dangerous?
So epilepsy is the term used for someone who has recurrent seizures, and a seizure is basically an electrical short circuit of the brain. You know, when we're born, we have this massive electrical network called our brain that usually it's a balanced circuit. It should function normally, but for some reason, people will develop epilepsy because it could be an injury to the brain, like a scar from head trauma. It could be an injury from stroke, an infection. We talked about meningitis or encephalitis, complications at birth. And then there's a number of forms of epilepsy that are genetically passed on in the family. And those are just a few of the reasons, but there's a number of reasons that seizures can occur, and it comes down to that issue of the brain short-circuiting. Then the seizures can be in many sizes and shapes, too. Depending on what is the cause and where they're originating from, they can look quite different. People have always assumed a seizure is a grand mal seizure, and that's kind of the only type, but there's many
grand
types.
Grand mal means you're shaking throughout the body, and it generally starts, it generally starts in one area and spreads through your whole body. Is that a grand mal?
Well, that's the term grand mal, you're correct, is for that type of convulsive seizure we've seen happen for many years. Interestingly, that can occur because a seizure starts in one part of the brain and then spreads to the rest of the brain. But remember, I'd mentioned a number of forms of genetic epilepsy where the whole network is firing all at once. So it's actually not starting in one part, but the whole system is short-circuiting at once and can look just like a grand mal seizure. They may look very similar despite the fact that the electrical short circuit and the spread is a little different mechanism.
And now the what you said is there, if it, for example, occurs in the temporal lobe, we used to say it could be just an abnormal smell you have or an abnormal taste. So seizures can occur various forms. You yourself had seizures at one point from what I would call a very unusual cause. Go ahead and describe your own personal involvement in this and why you chose the field of neurology.
Well, my experience probably started at a young age. I remember having this weird dream, almost like looking through a kaleidoscope at a very young age. And that kind of seemed to go away. And then all of a sudden, as a teenager, I started having these episodes where I felt like my brain was almost like being warped around the room on a lasso. And, you know, I could still talk to people, and it would only last 15, 20 seconds. And I had no idea what it was, but it seemed to go away and not cause a problem. And then one night, having that same feeling in the parking lot at high school, I went into a grand mal seizure. So this was your seizure that started in one part of the brain and then spread. And I was taken in the hospital, had the full evaluation. Everything supposedly came back normal back in those days, and just was placed on medication and did fine for a number of years and was told, well, I'm off the medication, which I did. But unfortunately, that led to another major seizure. And that's also when MRI was just coming out, and they did an MRI picture and found I had had a tumor in the temporal lobe, which probably was missed back in the earlier days by CAT scan because of some of the artifact that you see in CAT scan around the bone windows. And so that's kind of what happened.
Now,
I had to have the surgery to remove it and take care of the problem.
People don't think of brain tumors as slow-growing. That was a really unusual tumor, is that right?
Well, there are a lot of slow-growing tumors. As a matter of fact, the slow-growing tumors are more likely to cause seizures than fast-growing tumors. So this was actually what was called a gliovascular hamartoma, which was an unusual nesting of abnormal cells and vessels together that was expanding. And, you know, the seizures don't necessarily come from the tumor itself, but the effect of the tumor on the surrounding what used to be normal brain and it being pressed and irritated. So, yes, you need to get remove that lesion, but you also may need to remove some of the surrounding tissue that's been injured by the development of that lesion.
Now, is Donna asked a question, and thank Donna in New Jersey. Is epilepsy in children or in a child different than in an adult?
Yeah, there are many different forms of epilepsy. You know, we should say the epilepsies because there's at least 40 types, and we're identifying new types every year because some of the genetic markers that we're identifying. So you can have a benign form of epilepsy as a child and actually grow out of it. You can have forms of epilepsy that start very early in childhood that are quite severe and unfortunately don't have easy answers right now. And also later in life, we have people developing epilepsy from stroke and tumor and dementia. So it can vary for many different reasons, and that will change as you look at the age groups from the very young to the adolescent.
Well, we have a number of questions. Dr. Smith from spectrumhealth.org. A number of questions relating to epilepsy changing, and one of them is a brilliant question because it talks about brilliant lights and flashing lights at a basketball game causing something. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Joe?
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Topic is epilepsy and seizures with Dr. Brian Smith. He himself has epilepsy. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen again. Dr. Mike.
And Dr. Smith from, and we should say it's a great segment, so people should listen to this on epilepsy. You can get it on podcast and keep asking us questions on udocs@gmail.com. This one comes from a Bill who I think lives in Chicago, although he says he's listening to this in Tampa. So I'm not sure whether why the Chicago reference, but anyway, he said it may be that it was at a Bulls basketball game he saw. Maybe that's it. He said he saw at a basketball game when they were flashing lights during the introductions that someone had a seizure, and they attributed it to the flashing lights. What's that all about?
Yeah, so there are certain forms of epilepsy, and I had mentioned some forms that typically are passed on genetically. And there's a general, and typically this is generalized epilepsy, where people can be a little bit more susceptible to these flashing, high-frequency flashing of lights. And that's why if someone's ever had an EEG, a lot of times they'll be sitting there and then they'll do this, what we call photic stimulation, because that can actually show an abnormality on EEG. But that's also why patients with seizures are told to be a little careful in that setting, because that can potentially induce a seizure. Now, most of this is fairly well regulated, that people know that certain frequency of light flashing can be a problem. So those who are making video games or fire alarms with the flashing lights, keep away from that frequency. But there have been problems in the past. A number of years ago, there was a new video game that came out, and I believe this was in China. I could be incorrect, but it was outside our country, and a number of kids had seizures all at once because they were seeing this for the first time. So that's fairly well regulated, but anybody who has this issue, you just have to be careful to stay away from these repetitive flashing lights because sometimes that can make that happen.
Well, a Suzanne who is in Alcona, which apparently is in Michigan, has asked a question about this is, to me, a very interesting question, is what should you do if someone actually has a seizure? Is there something I should do if I'm around someone who's having a seizure?
Yeah, and typically we're talking about more the grand mal seizure or convulsion. You know, a few things that people sometimes do that you shouldn't do. One, you don't want to stick your finger in their mouth because there's this myth that people will swallow their tongue. Well, that's not going to happen, and you're going to lose your finger if you try to do that because they will bite down hard during a seizure. So you don't want to do that. Some people feel like they have to, you know, lie on top of the person and hold them down so they're not stiff and jerking. Well, you're not going to stop it that way either, and you could injure yourself or them. So really what we tell people to do is monitor the seizure, move someone to a safe area if you can lie them down on the floor, and a lot of times at the end of the seizure you want to roll them on their side so fluid that they can't control in their mouth doesn't go down to their lungs but outside the side of their mouth.
So roll them on their side, and by a safe area you mean an area where they aren't going to kick and hurt themselves or kick through a glass door or something like that.
Correct, yes. You want to just be sure that with those movements they're not hurting themselves. And remember that sometimes patients can get confused and a little combative after a seizure. You don't want them walking out of the house into the middle of the street. And so you try to guide them and keep them in a safe area. That's not always the easiest thing, but you have to keep that in mind that they're not really understanding everything you're doing. So try to be calm and just redirect them and to keep them in a safe zone.
And Lisa, who is in, it looks like some Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually. I don't know whether she's listening because it's you. You're in Grand Rapids, aren't you, Dr. Smith?
That's correct.
Well, Lisa from Grand Rapids writes, you seem to be living a normal life with a seizure. I have a son with a seizure. What can be expected from him? Will he be able to drive? Will he be able to, if his seizures are controlled with medications, which they are now, will he be able to live a normal life and engage in common activities?
Well, of course, that's the hope, but you do have to realize the scope of epilepsies is quite different. There are some that are not easy to control seizures, and they do affect the brain development and cognitive functioning. So that's why there are many forms of epilepsy, and we would have to be very specific with each one. Our goal with treatment is to keep someone seizure-free and let them have a normal quality of life. So ideally, if we can get them on one medication and their seizures are controlled, and depending on what state you're in, for example, in Michigan, if you're seizure-free for 6 months, then you can operate a motor vehicle. So the issue of restrictions is based on your seizure control. And, of course, the goal with almost everyone is to get them to live a normal life. And there are many people out there who have epilepsy you'll never know. They work with you, you see them on the street, and they are living normal lives.
And I guess she's also asking about you. Are you living a normal life now? That is, are there restrictions on what you can do in medicine? And that brings up the question, did you, because of the seizure, go into this field? Or how did you happen to choose this field and you actually have one of these?
Yes. Well, of course, it did affect my decision because when I had to make a decision back in the years in medical school, although my seizures were controlled at that time, it wasn't clear why I was having seizures. And I knew I couldn't become a cardiothoracic surgeon or do something that if I had a seizure in the middle of a procedure, it would cause potential harm to someone else. But subsequently, a tumor was found. I had the surgery to remove it, so I haven't had a seizure, nor have I required any medication in about 20 years. So there is the history of epilepsy, but it is potentially curable in certain situations depending on the cause.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Smith, for appearing with us and for answering all these great questions. I want to thank our listeners for sending in the great questions. They can always send them in at udocs@gmail.com. Dr. Smith's home is spectrumhealth.org. Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, where he is co-chair of the neurovascular services, and is that where you, neuroscience services, and chief of the division of neurology at Spectrum Health. And you can also find out more information about epilepsy at epilepsyfoundation.org. Thank you very much. And now, Sonar, that tip of the week. And this tip, keep your tummy comfortable this holiday season. If the soundtrack of your holidays is more like Jingle Burps, yep, that rude YouTube classic, then it's the most wonderful time of the year. Your tummy's not so alone. To cut back on heartburn, cut back on stress and holiday cookies, avoid dairy, and move around as much as possible. Remember to fill your plate with plenty of veggies and put the creamier, high-fat, or high-sugar sides on the edge of your plate. Your GI tract will thank you, and your jeans will fit snugly. Joe?
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.